And there goes the full-time whistle for it. Serene are promoted into League One as all the players have managed to storm onto the pitch. I've had a word with someone very special. I won't be breaking any copyright by telling you this. Yes. Derby, Sunderland, Ipswich, you're going to be eating hummus at the new lawn next season because Forest Green are in League One.
Welcome to the Heavens Devils podcast, a Forest Green Rovers podcast by two Americans who don't know what they're talking about. My name is Nathan. This is Sean.
Heavens Devils podcast. Current wait time to see QE2 Lion State, 14 hours. Current wait time to listen to the Heavens Devils podcast, lying about everything, 14 seconds.
Hey!
Let's go. We're going in.
Let's go. We're going in. We're going to spread all kinds of misinformation as we do every week. Welcome to the pod, people. Welcome to the pod. We got a huge pod today. Awesome guests. Very fun chats to lift you up after out of the darkness of
a lot of solemnity
the match
around this
on
week.
Saturday. Yeah. So it's going to be a great little chat. Before we get into it, first let's talk about Settlement 84. Shimmy, our presenting partner, Settlement 84. Fall is coming, baby. We talk about it with our guest Don Bernard today. Fall is coming. It is almost hoodie season, Shimmy, and I cannot wait because I love hoodie season. And I got a fire hoodie from Settlement 84.
It looks
and
I'm incredible.
Like dying to rock it. It's too hot right now still in the U.S. Probably not
supposed
in the
to be. UK. It's supposed to be 80 degrees Fahrenheit tomorrow, too, like in the high 80s.
Wonderful. Climate change. It's not too hot in the U.K. probably, though. I feel like they're wearing hoodies now. But here in the U.S., it's way too hot still, so I'm dying to wear that. But anyway, if you need a hoodie, if you need any clothes, if you're Don Bernard and don't wear long enough shorts, head over to Settlement84.com. An incredible green, eco, animal-friendly clothing company. We are proud to work together with them. So check out Settlement84.com. Go get you some fire and ethical gear right there, Shimmy. All right, let's get into the pod.
Fire stuff, and who knows, maybe Settlement84 will be listening to this episode, and we may get the Don Bernard ethical turtleneck down the line.
Oh.
Who knows? Who knows if we can pull it off?
So. Oh, that would be fire. Actually, I need to talk to Settlement84. I mentioned this with Dom. I don't know if we were on the air yet or not, or if it was after we stopped recording, but I mentioned it with you as well. I have a plan for when we go to in April for what to wear.
You're and keeping maybe, it under wraps. So to
keeping
speak.
It under wraps. Yeah. I want it to be a surprise to you, Jimmy. It's going to be ridiculous.
Listen, after last year's surprise with the passport, it's perfectly fine for you to surprise me. I deserve it.
I love it. So maybe Settlement84 can hook us up with my really dumb idea. Let's keep it moving here. So first of all, we're going to talk all about the match, the tough match on Saturday. Against Morecambe, the Shrimps, the Shrimpers. Wait, are they the Shrimps or the Shrimpers?
I think they're the Shrimpers.
Someone we played was the Shrimpers in League 2. Someone else was the Shrimps.
Oh.
Was Southend United the Shrimpers and Morecambe are the Shrimps?
I don't know. Maybe the Shrimp has become the Shrimper, as they say.
You know? Our ignorance knows no bounds.
The Shrimp has become the Shrimper at least yesterday because they caught us in one. So
there we go. There we go. They did. We're going to talk about that in a minute with our man, Laurie Martin. And we're going to talk about it with our man, Drippy Don Bernard, who was temporary captain yesterday. Actually, before we talk about that, I guess I should say who's on the pod today. We got Laurie Martin, who I already said, who's going to break down all the data dump truck. He's going to break down all the analysis and give us some opinion on the match, on Ian Birchnell, on our future. And then we got Drippy Don Bernard to hear things from a player perspective. And we have some fun with Dom.
As always,
man. He's going to raise your spirits as he did ours after that tough Saturday loss. So let's get into it. Before we do, we got to give a shout out to our man, Cam Hoffman.
Yes.
FGR Vlogs. He was told he could not. Justice for Cam, because he was told he could not vlog on Saturday. And it's not the first time he's been told that. And we got to fix that because we need Cam out there vlogging. FGR Vlogs has been a huge resource for us. Like, before we started.
Yeah. One of our earliest guests.
Cam. One of our earliest guests, yes. Yeah. And when we first started following FGR, like, Cam and his vlogs were like our entry point into the club. And it is for
that
so
enthusiasm
many
was infectious.
Yeah. He introduces the club and promotes the club in such a positive way, and it's so good for growing the club, growing enthusiasm around the club, that it would be a crime if he couldn't vlog. So we got to figure that out. I'm sure it was a miscommunication somewhere, but justice for Cam, justice for FGR Vlogs. We gotta fix that for him. He's got to be able to vlog, man.
Free my boy Cam.
Free Cam. Killer Cam. He does such great work. Let's see. What else? Shout out to Gab Sutton. Our man Gab Sutton was in the building.
Yes.
On Saturday. And we should never invite him back because we're now 0-1 in Gab Sutton games. However, I've already invited him to Wickham away. He said he wouldn't come to Forest Green again for a while just because it's impossible to get to.
Sure. And, not even the vegan sausage rolls could convince
could
him otherwise.
Him? I don't know. It's a brutal commute.
It's tough.
Unless you have a car, it's brutal. But anyway, so hopefully we can see him in Wickham, because I know he has a good relationship with the Wickham folks. But anyway, shout out to Gab for coming to the match. I hope you enjoyed your experience. Gab, we'd love to have you back if we can find a better way to transport you there. anyway, Shimmy, what else? What else we need to say before we get to Lori and Don?
Yeah, man, just, you know, it's a weird week. Like, we have the ups and the downs. We know it's going to be that type of season. But just want to say to all the supporters out there, whether you're Cam, who's maybe not having, you know, getting the support for the vlog right now, or whether you're the team that just, you know, lost a difficult match against what was really kind of maybe like a six-pointer for us, you know? Like, don't get discouraged. We still have a long season to go. We're going to be here. Maybe folks don't like that part of it. We're going to be there for the whole thing. But the supporters are behind you. We need to just make sure we're there for them, man. And, like, just keep going. It's going to be one of these tough seasons. But
yeah, man, right, 100%. And you know, a lot of people have disagreements, justified disagreements, mm-hmm. with different things that have been happening at the
tactics,
club.
Tactics.
And with maybe the coaching. But at the end of the day, we got to get behind the boys. We got to get behind the players. We got to show them love and support. That's how we're going to bounce back and be on more highs than lows in this roller coaster season that we've had so far. Mm-hmm. So shout out to the boys, man. We support you. We back you. We're gonna stay up. We're
gonna
stay
up. Shout out to the supporter. Shout out to Cam. We'll try to make sure you keep doing your thing, and hopefully it gets like cleared up. And yeah, man, let's roll on.
Let's roll on, baby. We roll on, and we have a huge opportunity coming up. We'll talk to it with Lori Martin. Where we play Exeter and the worst team in League Two, or sorry, League One so far, Burton Albion. So who just beat Exeter actually 2-0? So we have them both back to back. Huge potential here. If we can get 6 points out of these two, we will be looking good. And there's no reason why we can't. So we'll talk to Lori about that in just a second. But actually, let's talk to him now. Let's go straight to Lori. So we will talk to Lori Martin here all about football. And then we will get to our man, Drippy, Don Bernard, the Dominator, the Dominatrix.
League One Golden Boot winner, Don Bernard.
League One Golden Boot winner, Don Bernard. All right, let's get to Lori first, though. Here we go. Lori Martin, let's go talk some football. Boom, Lori, take it away. All right, we welcome back to the pod our friend Lori Martin. Welcome back, Lori. How are we doing?
Hey, Lori.
I'm doing good, other than the result yesterday. But yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah,
We feel you, man.
Good. Minus the result yesterday. Good. So yeah, you were on the call yesterday with our friend Billy Hunt. You killed it as you always do. But you posted a burger on social media that looked amazing. Rate the burger out of 10 really quick.
Honestly, 10. It was genuinely perfection. And it came from VIP, from someone in the box behind us. I have no idea who it was, so apologies, because I'd like to thank them for me, Billy, and Ash all got a burger each, so it made my afternoon, really. So
you didn't get any money, but you each got a burger.
It was the highlight of the afternoon for you.
Yeah, man of the match, perhaps. Would you say the burger?
Yeah,
was the
burger the man of the match?
Undoubtedly, I'd say. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into this thing we don't want to talk about, which is the match. First, just opening thoughts, Lori, overall on the day, on the match.
Oh, I thought Forest Green were pretty poor, to be honest. I think it was a difficult one because there's an expectation to beat teams like that. But then there's also an expectations for teams like that to beat us as well, which I think maybe some people forget. You know, Burton won as well yesterday. So both winless teams, they're going to win a game eventually, aren't they? Like, just by chance. So that happened to be yesterday. I did think Forest Green were pretty poor for a lot of it, to the point where we were talking on commentary about the 70th minute mark. Would Ian Birch will take a point here? And I was sort of in the camp of, yes, I think so, because we wouldn't have before kickoff, but at half four yesterday, I think we would have and should have, because I think Morecambe were better. Like, took the lead with it's not a freak goal, it's a great strike, but it's an unbelievable goal from Connor Wickham. They worked so many more better opportunities than we did in the game.
Right.
So, yeah, disappointing performance, disappointing result after what's been a good week in terms of picking up 4 points from Accrington and Charlton.
100%, man. Yeah, we deserve to lose. So I agree with you. Like, by the end, it's like, okay, can we escape with a point here? Because we deserve to lose. We dominated possession, but they dominated the shots on target. They crushed us.
Yeah, the incisive
expected
play.
Goals.
Yeah.
Just an awful performance and an awful result. We'll see if we can find some silver lining in a minute. But first, let's talk about the bad. So as we said, we didn't create chances. We didn't defend. We got crushed statistically. We deserve to lose against one of the worst teams in the league, a team you'd expect to be relegated, by the way. They are, you know, the betting markets expect them to get relegated. They're currently in the relegation zone, I guess, as are we. But what's your analysis of what went wrong on Saturday, and how do we fix it?
It's a good question I suppose, in terms of, it was the same starting 11 as Tuesday, which I think, you know, so from that point of view, that was a starting 11 that went to a good team and were good value for a point, probably played the better stuff in the second half and had the better chances. So from that point of view, it sort of seemed like nothing should have gone wrong, but I gave up too many high quality chances too easily for me. There was, you know, the goal as well. Like, I've heard of a few, you know, fingers pointed at Pert Harris for not releasing the ball quickly enough. But after that, there should be so many chances to get the ball away. And I feel like we concede a goal like that very often, sort of in that left channel, a little dink over McGee. I feel like I've seen that goal so many times.
Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing. Right?
And then going forward, yeah, I mean, I think Fabima showed little moments with his pace, but to be fair, he was dealt well with by Badeau, I think it was, who was a pretty fast guy. I think Fabima, you know, I think maybe he should have peeled off towards Rawson a little bit more in that right channel, because Fran Rawson was never that good there for Forest Green, because, you know, he's way better in the middle. Maybe that should have been done a little bit more. I think, a lack of too many chances let on goal, and then going forward, just there wasn't enough high quality stuff, was there, really? I mean, Wickham sort of dropped in as a deep midfielder for a lot of the second half, and I guess you can sort of see that in the fact that you can pick out more mobile players going forward, but, you know, again, maybe they just lacked a little bit of a presence in that second half at times when, you know, you want him there occupying centre back. So yeah, it's just not really good in any department.
Yeah, I want to talk about Wickham in just a second, but here's something that I don't know if it's true, but it feels true, so I'm going to say it's true. FGR have never dropped points in League One when we have four at the back. True or false, Laurie? Do we need to switch it up and go to four at the back?
I think one of the main problems with maybe the three at the minute is Dom at wing back. Not saying that he's been poor there, but he's not a wing back is the bottom line of it. So it's probably a difficult position for him to play. And then you're sort of looking at that thinking, you know, he's a bit unfamiliar in that position. The back four worked well against Accrington, and that always felt like it was more of a sort of, it wasn't a brilliant performance in terms of quality, but it was really good in terms of sort of grinding out the result and getting the win. It kind of felt like that had to be done in order to get 3 points. I don't know, really. I think Birchall showed at Notts County that he is pretty adaptable with switching between a three and a four. So I do think we will see it again pretty soon, a four. You know, if it doesn't come against Exeter, then you know, it will come in one of the next few games. It's difficult to say. I think when you've got a fully fit squad, then, which, you know, may never happen, to be fair, but go with a three, because ultimately that's the squad has been recruited to play that system, I think, with O'Keefe and Boyes as wing backs and, you know, stuff like that. But maybe whilst we're having these few injuries at the moment, then maybe it does need a little bit of mixing up with a four.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm just dying to get Boyes back because we've heard so many good things about him. And, you know,
we're trying to get that Manscaped deal as well. You know,
that's right. Shave our hairy Boyes. But but no, we heard so many good things about Boyes, and he was going to be the perfect solution to replace Nicky Cadden. But yeah, it's unfortunate. So let's talk Birchnell and Birchball here for a second. So no secret, fans are very angry right now with Ian Birchnell. What's your take on the gaffer right now at this point in time?
Well, I think most Forest Green fans would have expected a difficult start, and it's proved to be a difficult start. So I don't really see sort of any surprises there. I mean, I think I've almost looked at it. If yesterday went a certain way, I would have looked at it in three game sort of sections. I think the first three games were good. Dominant against Bristol Rovers, a good performance against Ipswich, but a defeat, and then a battling draw at Lincoln. Then the next three were pretty poor all round. Terrible against Sheffield Wednesday, poor against Shrewsbury, beaten heavily by Argyle. And then I sort of felt like it was going to be a next batch of three where you beat Accrington, draw at Charlton, and then follow that with another win. And it wasn't quite to be. So it kind of felt like after losing whatever it was, 13-0 over four games, wasn't it, I think? And then you come back with Accrington win, Charlton draw. It felt like...
momentum was going the right way.
Yeah, it felt like the trajectory was going just one way. And that, but you know, I do think that possibly you can just put it down as an off day yesterday. You know, a team that were so eager to win. Obviously, it wasn't good enough is the bottom line. But
it hurts more too, I think, because we scored first.
Right? Yeah,
it's like that momentum seemed like it was carrying through, and yeah, we get this batch of three. But yeah, that's what made it hurt even more by the end.
I think just for the team in general, the next two games are bigger. They're both winnable. I know Exeter have started the season well, but you know, a team we're in the same league as last season, Exeter and Burton. Again, it feels like you've got to be taking at least three, if hopefully four. In an ideal world, six, because you know they're big games. We've played hard teams. There's no doubt about that. And I think yesterday was the first time we've sort of dropped below a level against a team that, you know, we should be beating, really, or you know, at least at the very least competing with.
Yeah, it's a great perspective, and I guess we're talking with Laurie now. We're going to talk with Dom later. So, we already talked with Dom, but in the order of the pod in the future, we are going to talk to Dom about that roller coaster of a season that we've had of the, you know, we, like you said, started off great, then down, then good again, and then down. And then it's like, so it's such a roller coaster. And it's just, you're as good as your last game. And we're all a little fickle, you know, where we draw with Charlton. All right, things are looking up. Then we lose to a bad, well, presumably who's going to be a bad Morecambe team by the end of the season. And it's like, we're in trouble.
Things can never be good again.
But yeah, exactly. The next two games are huge. Burton Albion, we'll talk about that in a minute, but Burton Albion, one of the worst teams in League One so far. Exeter City have been kind of up and down like us. They've had some good wins, some good draws, and they've also had some really bad losses, including against Cheltenham and Burton Albion. 2-0 just Saturday. But anyway, let's find some silver lining in yesterday's performance. Let's start with Connor Wickham. Talk about that goal and just the overall performance by the big man.
Well, I mean, his ball striking ability is unbelievable, because I don't think he's had very many shots really in terms of, but he scored with a fair portion of them. I think, you know, the goal against Lincoln, unbelievable quality. Right. I don't think it was a particularly easy finish on Tuesday. And then yesterday's is a really good strike again. So he's just got that quality. It would have been nicer in a way if he'd scored a header from 6 yards yesterday, because that would have actually shown that Forest Green were creating something, but they didn't create something. It was just a pop shot that's gone sort of into the top corner. But he's got that quality. And a frustration from me yesterday is, I think he should be on free kicks ultimately. I'm nowhere near, you know, won't claim to be on the training ground watching them do it, but it's always Hendry and O'Keefe, and obviously very good technical players. But you know what you're getting from them. It's sort of a whipped, floated, whatever it is, you know, outside of the foot. I just feel like Wickham could really vary it up with one along the floor or a pile driver into the top corner. I just feel like he's would have way more variation in his free kicks based on what we've seen from a way he can strike a ball. But I mean, his position was interesting as well yesterday in terms of particularly second half dropping so deep. I haven't listened to Ian's interview yet with Billy. I don't know if he asked him about it, but yeah, it was literally like playing as a quarterback at times, I thought. Just like sitting so deep and just spreading balls. And to be fair to him, when he did spread the balls, he joined the attack straight away. But yeah, I think he's a key player. I guess with the question is with him and the coaching staff have got to decide, do they want him to be this big threatening number nine who occupies defenders? Because it seems like at the minute, they want him doing a little bit of everything in terms of coming deep for the ball. And I think just let him do one thing, but they've got to decide what he's best at, I think.
Yeah, we need him to be our Haaland, you know, our League One, Erling Haaland.
League One Haaland. 100%. Like I didn't like that because I was worried, you know, I didn't like that he kept dropping back. He was all over the place. It's great, but, you know, he's injury prone and he's such a good goal scorer and we desperately need goals. I'm like, just leave him up front, let him score goals.
Yeah, give him some space, you know.
Yeah, you know, he reminds me of like a world superstar who comes to the MLS and is just so clearly the best player on the field and just like so effortlessly like scores goals. Like all three of his goals so far just look like just so calmly taken. Yeah, so
I think
casual.
I'll do this now.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I'll score a goal now.
Yeah, all of them. Yeah. Just ball right to his foot, boom. The one on Tuesday was crazy. Like it was just a goalkeeper error and it just like, no, like took no time to think about it. Ball in the back of the net. Yeah. Love it. I asked how we can keep this man past January. Our friend Dylan Banks suggested we start a GoFundMe. So I don't think that's a bad idea. If we can keep him healthy, let's start a GoFundMe and get him with us for at least the end of the year. Anyway, who else stood out to you yesterday as a positive performance?
Not very many, to be fair. I suppose Luke McGee would be one, and then you don't really want your goalkeeper playing that well and making that many saves. But I thought he was really good.
Right.
Made some incredible saves. Yeah, I mean, again, I think his improvement basically since Rob's come in has been fantastic. You know, really established himself. And then Moore Taylor as well. I mean, the block in the first half which came off the bar. I'm not sure. Were to like what degree you put that down to luck. I mean, obviously it's great defending that he's put his body in the way, but the way it's come straight off the crossbar and landed into McGee's hands is just, I think there's a pretty big slice of luck there. But I thought he dealt with Stockton pretty well the whole game. He's a, you know, really good striker at this level. So yeah, I think unsurprisingly, not really any attacking players, but it'd be McGee and Jordan Moore Taylor, I think.
Yeah, 100%. You don't, like you said, you don't want your player, you don't want your goalkeeper leading the league in saves. And right now, I just looked it up. Right now, Forrest Green are third in saves in League One, which is not a great sign. It means balls are getting past the defense. But yeah, he did bail us out quite a few times Saturday, and you know, did all year last year too. So we're thankful to have him. But I really wish he would. You know, be a little bit more bored back there. So, Laurie, I feel like you are a man of insight, of intrigue, of interest, of thoughts, of opinions. Anything else you want to say that you've just noticed or been thinking about lately about this team?
I think, yeah, maybe just reserve judgment a little bit in terms of, because, yeah, I mean, as well, I think, and I said this after we lost 5-0 to Sheffield Wednesday, people at the start of the season were saying, oh, this season's going to be so tough. You know, we could have 0 points after six games. But when you, like before Sheffield Wednesday, people were saying, oh, we're going to get thrashed today. And I was like, yeah, probably. but when we do, people still sort of lose their minds and go, that was terrible. It's like the way you think of things, but when it actually happens, the reality sort of hits harder a lot more, if you know what I mean. And That's a thing with football, you know. Like if people said we're going to be 22nd, 21st, whatever we are after nine games, a lot of people probably would have gone, yeah, probably. But when it actually happens,
the outrage kicks in.
People lose their minds again. And of course, I understand like anger and stuff. And yesterday was not good enough whatsoever. But yeah, in this league, you'll just go from positives to negatives. I was feeling very positive after Accrington and Charlton, two battling performances. And then yeah, you feel a bit down after yesterday. But I do think that the next two games will be quite a big indicator in terms of where this team is, because it is two teams they should be competing with. So yeah, and people say 10 games is a good marker. I don't know, but we'll be at 11 after that. So yeah, I think just a good indicator of where the team will be.
Yeah, it's still September. It's like you said, it's good to have some perspective. And I think you're right. A lot of fans would take where we are right now on the table before the season, and we're here.
It's going to be tough. It is going to be tough.
It's just the nature, yeah, of football and being a fan. Is just, it's a roller coaster. There's highs, there's lows, and we're so like, we have such a short memory. It's like whatever happened last, like, that's what we feel. But it's very good. Yeah, after these next, if we don't get any points out of these next two games, then I'm panicking. But
yeah, but one thing I will say, Nathan, is you know, there will be wins and there'll be losses. It's going to be up and down. And like Laurie said, you know, there's sometimes the expectations can be low, but then when you actually experience it, it's tough. Yeah. I get that. But it's also the way you play too. And I think it's that concerning thing. And you said it brilliantly during the broadcast, Laurie, where it's like, all right, maybe the first four or five games, you expect the chemistry to be figured out. And there may be these defensive lapses. You let somebody wriggle through and then Luke McGee either saves us or it gets past him. But it's just like, okay, you know, can we shore up and prevent those types of goals like Morecambe scored yesterday? And like, I think that's going to be a huge indicator too. On top of the results is, okay, can like Birchnell make these adjustments and tighten us up when we need to? So that's one thing that I think is going to be on my radar a lot as well.
Yeah, it's a good shout. So let's put this loss behind us. Let's move on. A critical game on Saturday against Exeter City, who have been holding their own, to be fair, in League One so far. They're currently 15th in the table. They're actually sixth if you look at the XG table, which is surprising to me. So they've actually created a lot of good chances and been pretty good defensively. They are coming off, though, an equally embarrassing loss to Burton Albion, 2-0. So Burton got their first win. Morecambe got their first win against us. Burton got their first win against Exeter. And they also have already lost to a bad Cheltenham team. So I don't know what to think, really, because they've been kind of up and down. I feel like their season has been kind of similar to ours so far. So I don't know, Laurie, what do you think? What do we need to do to get 3 points on Saturday, and how confident are you that we can do it?
I think, obviously, it will be tough. Exeter did a good job on us last season, started the season well, and then you're right, they've had a couple of results when you look at Cheltenham, Burton, and then falling apart at Shrewsbury as well on Tuesday. What do Forest Green need to do? I don't know how, sort of, whether there'll be any changes in personnel. I'd suppose you'd be looking at Reece Brown and Ben Stevenson, possibly the two most likely to come back in. I'm not sure on Marquez if he's away on international duty. I think I don't know if Birchall confirmed that yesterday. So again, if Bailey's not back, is that going to force Forest Green to go to a back four? Maybe. And you'd be looking at O'Keefe, more Taylor, Casey and Bernard as a back four. So that could be a possibility, maybe. But yeah, I'd keep Wickham and Fabima as well as the front two. I think that, you know, they're showing signs of a good partnership, very different players. I think they're working well together. But the fact it's on Sky in the UK scares me as well. Like
TV curse.
The famous TV curse.
Yeah.
Forest Green ended it the last time they played on Sky, didn't they, against Colchester on that Monday night? And
yeah.
Rob Edwards certainly let me know after that because of how much I bigged it up pre-match. but it does scare me a little bit. I always associate Forest Green on Sky with just bad performances, but hopefully not, to be fair.
Let's flip the script. Let's turn the script around. You know?
Oh, it's going to be bright and early for us, Sean. 7:30 a.m. here in the U.S. We'll be up, though. We'll be watching. I think it'll be on ESPN, actually.
Okay.
So I don't know if we can get the stream. I don't know how that works, if the stream still runs on Sky. I don't remember. Or if we just have to watch it on ESPN. But whatever. Anyway. All right. So, Laurie Martin, let's end out on the score prediction, Laurie. What's going to happen? What's the score? Saturday, Exeter City on the TVs all over the UK, all over the world.
Reversing the curse, baby.
Reversing the curse. What's going to be the score?
or not.
I won't go super positive. I'll go 1-1. I think pick up a point.
All right, pick up a point. Fair result. We'll be happy with that as long as the performance is good. As long as we deserve that point, we'll be happy with that. 1-1, says Lori Martin. Lori, thank you as always for joining us. This is awesome as always. Follow this man at Lori Martin 263. Hear him on the broadcast from time to time. Lori, you're doing amazing stuff. We appreciate you, Lori. Thank you for coming on. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Lori.
Pleasure. Cheers, both. Thank you.
Cheers, Lori. Lori Martin, there's only one Lori Martin.
I was going to, I mean, my instinct after that is just to start chanting, wanker, but he's not.
Lori's not a wanker.
He's the complete opposite.
Love Lori, man. Love the positivity. Love the intelligence, the articulation. He's so much better than us at all that stuff.
Yes. So much smarter, more articulate. Love him on the broadcast these days when he gets to hop in.
Yeah, he's great with Billy, man. So good. He's such a natural. It's wonderful to hear.
You got a great team between he, Ash, and Billy, man. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Love it. This should actually, I wonder what it would be like to have all three on at the same time. Is that too much? That's probably too much. But I think it would be cool. Anyway, all right, let's keep it moving.
I might be breaking some decency laws there, Nathan. I don't know.
All right, let's keep it moving. To our man, Drippy Dom Bernard, our guy, the Golden Boot winner, as you said earlier, Jimmy, Domino's Pizza, Ramadan, Dom of the Dead, you name it. Dom Bernard, don't you know? We love this man. This is hat trick on the pod, too. Awesome chat with Dom.
The
very
mustachioed
insightful
magician. We love him.
The mustachioed magician. The shimmy. I love that. All right. Let's go to Dom. Awesome chat. Very fun. Also, very real. Gives us some insight behind the scenes. We have some fun. It's just a wonderful chat, as it always is with our man, Drippy Dom Bernard. Let's go. To a man, Dom Bernard. Let's go. We welcome to the pod the most versatile man in fashion, in interest, in football positions. A man who will do anything for the club, play any position, go into any challenge, expose his legs beyond the point that is appropriate for most people under 18. He's a natural goal scorer who can score goals just as easily for us as he can against us. Sheffield Wednesday. It is Trippy Dom, the Dominator, Domino's Pizza, Ramadan, Dom of the Dead, Dom Jones. Not unusual to be loved by anyone. Dom Hanks, Atomic Dom, Grounds Control to Major Dom, the Dom One, Via Dom, Dom Bernard Sanders, the Dominatrix, Dom.com. It's Dom Bernard. Don't channel. Welcome back to the pod, Dom.
Dom, incredible.
I love the intro. Apart from you reminded me of Sheffield Wednesday, the own goal.
Okay. That was a beautiful header, Dom. You should be proud.
Oh, yeah, that's. It was a slip and slide moment. Yeah,
and very hard to get goals past. Very hard to get goals past Luke McGee as well.
True. He's a brick wall.
All right. So let's actually. I did hit record, right? It's early in the morning. Oh, I did. All right. Good.
Yeah,
we still, Shum. We still have yet to record a pod where we forgot to hit the record, which is shocking to me after so many pods.
I think some people wish we would from a couple of weeks, but no, we haven't. Yeah, it's weird.
Let's start with the bad, Dom. We'll start with the bad news, and then we'll get more positive. So Saturday, we lost. We lost to Morecambe, who a lot of people expect to be a relegation team. Although they, to their credit, they played very well. So credit to Morecambe, they played very well. But most fans would call that a bad game, a disappointing game.
Smash and grab.
Put it mildly. I took out some of the curse words that I've heard of. Is that your assessment of what happened Saturday?
Yeah, it was definitely. We said at halftime, even though we were going in, obviously, confident that we had majority of the ball, which some games that we've played so far, we're normally defending as much as, you know, not as much as attacking. So it was a game where we kind of dominated possession and we knew that we could just exploit them in certain areas. But we knew as well, like we saw it towards the end, last kick game, that they could win it probably on a set piece, or at least, you know, how the game's going, it's going to be one of those. And obviously, as the game was going late on, if we're not going to draw it, you know, or win it, then don't lose it. But unfortunately, we did give away, obviously, I think it was just a little lapse in concentration in towards the end. But we were disappointed, obviously, not to come away with at least a point. But like you said, those games kind of are the games that we need to be winning. And we said it after as well. Obviously, it was a disappointing afternoon.
Yeah, we had a little bit of a positive thing in the midweek, you know, with Charlton and like picking up, a point that people probably wouldn't have expected us to pick up. But then to follow it up with this was kind of like that mixed bag.
Right? Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, like you said, we have obviously those two games that we're building on. Obviously, everyone's feeling good because obviously, especially after like a win or a draw, a decent point away at Charlton, because Charlton, the Valley, obviously is a really tough place to go. And they got good players, good team. I'm sure there'd be a, in and around it. So we were obviously on a high, but as well as that, you've got to kind of, as much on a high, you've got to stay obviously level-headed because, you know, no matter what team you come against, especially like Morecambe, I know they've had a poor start and they won't be happy with it as well. But it is literally like they're a side who's good at the base. They will fight for literally any ball and every ball. So, like, it's a different contrast of game. Charlton, they like to play, and now Morecambe's like a, roll your sleeves up kind of game.
Yeah. Scrappers. And we saw that they played super, super well. They were very hard to break down. We didn't get a lot of chances. You actually had one of our best chances. Incredible header, Tom.
I know.
Your header, man. I screamed. So close. You were so close to your first league goal this season, right? Because you did score against Southampton in the Pizza Cup, it was a beautiful header, man. What happened there?
You're known for
many things, Dom, but winning aerial headers is usually not one of them. What happened there?
That was obviously one of the game plans. I mean, Regan obviously was the one who put it in the box and is exploiting on the shoulder of the wing backs. And obviously, it comes to a point because they're playing so low, Morecambe. You know, as teams get lower in a low block, it's hard to break down. But obviously, the gaffer was mentioning those balls in behind just on the shoulder and those kind of runs to stretch the defences and get in behind, because it's a hard ball to defend as well. You know, when a ball comes as a defender over your head and you're on a turn, you're expecting to get someone on it or a bump. So, I mean, it was a great ball from Regan. From my point of view, I said to him, was you couldn't put a better ball in, but it's one of those ones when it's coming in. And it's like, is the defender going to get a little skim on it? And it just went over his head. And I was kind of just trying to anticipate and get it on target. Because in them positions, if you get it on target, normally, you know, with a bit of pace, it goes in, like kind of hits the keeper and goes in. But maybe I should obviously go on a cross goal and a bit lower. But like you said,
I feel like it's so hard. And that like split second to like position. Well, I don't know. I've never headed a football, but I'm assuming it's very, very difficult to position it. And I think it was an excellent chance. I think the keeper was just did a great job stopping it. That was one of our best chances. I mean, the Wickham crazy goal, that obviously was beautiful and outstanding. And then, how do you pronounce it? Fiabima?
Fiabima, right?
Yeah, Fiabima. Yes. Fiabima. Yeah, to be fair, obviously, we just call him Brian. We never call him on a certain...
Okay, nice.
We call him Brian.
No one's gone the Blondie route yet. No one's called him Blondie.
Frank Ocean. He's got the old school Frank Ocean.
Yeah, it's a good look.
But, Brian, the life of Brian. He had a crazy, crazy run and then set up Wickham for another chance. And then your header was incredible.
Yeah.
And I know we had one more shot on target. I just don't remember what it was, but I know based on the stats anyway, we had one more. But yours, oh my God, it was beautiful. I almost lost it. I almost broke my TV. I was so excited. So football, man, it's a weird game. Like it's a game of streaks, of up and down emotions. You're only as good as your last game. And fans are, we're all kind of fickle in that way. Like, I, when we started the season, we beat Bristol Rovers. We lose to Ipswich, but we played really well that second half. We draw in Lincoln City, and we're all thinking, oh, my God, we're going to stay up. This is easy. And then, lost to Plymouth Argyle, just get crushed by Sheffield Wednesday, lose to Shrewsbury, and now we're like, uh-oh, we're done. We're relegated again. And then we beat Accrington Stanley, and then we draw away at Charlton. Now we're like, yes, we're on top of the world again. And now we lose to Morecambe, and now we're like, oh.
We're on the roller coaster.
It's a roller coaster, man. It is a roller coaster. Does it feel like that for players, too?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Football is so... You can never get too high. You can never get too low. Because literally, even with... in terms of, obviously, I know obviously results, literally, that is football. You know, you want to win. You take a low, and like I said before, being on here, it can ruin your weekend for the sense that it's like you've lost, you're on a down. But not in terms of that, day by day, through training, you go through training, you might have a bad training session, you pick up an injury, send you down, send you missing, I don't know, like a few weeks, maybe months, and then you're back again, and it's just constantly, you know, up and down. It's full of emotions, roller coaster, like you said, and the results obviously showing, like you said, we're winning, you're on a high, then you lose again, and then it's just picking yourself up. It is literally just dusting yourself off and going again.
I love that. So, and we've had some good moments. We've had some great moments, and then we've had some bad moments as well. So, just looking at the bad moments now, what do you think is, like, if you could diagnose it, like, what do you think is the main thing that's going wrong, and what do you think we need to change so that we can stay up?
I think obviously at the moment it's belief at the moment. Obviously, I know it's obviously a new league, as everyone knows. Everyone's adapting to new teams, I think, because obviously being in League Two, you know how teams are, because you play, like, if you're stayed in a league, you know how teams function, you know their philosophy, how they're going to play. Not saying that we don't, because obviously we do throughout the whole week, we do loads of, you know, analysis, like Gafford and Sam, the new analysis guy, the assistant, Doyler, look at games, obviously feed the information to us. But like I said, if you're in League Two, you're playing teams week in, week out, and you've stayed in the league, you know how they adapt. So obviously we're just adapting to it in League One. But at the same time, it's just believe. But I think we say it, like, we just go, obviously believe in what we're doing whenever we go out. And knowing that the things that we're doing, just keep doing it, don't come away from it. And obviously try to implement it more in some games, trying to stay a bit consistent with it. Because in some games, obviously, we do it, and then some games we'll probably come away from it. And then that's when you probably get caught up in a way, like, I'm trying to try new things, which you just need to go back to the basics, you know, the foundations of it, and kind of feed off that. But I'm sure over time, you know, it's still early. I mean, 8 games or 9 games, I don't know.
Not in October yet, so.
Yeah, we're in September still. So it's such a long season ahead that I'm sure, obviously, when we get more consistent with how we play, it will start to click.
Love that. You temporarily rocked the armband on Saturday. As a person who doesn't like wearing more clothing than is absolutely necessary, how challenging was it for you to wear that?
Well, we obviously had a situation, obviously, on the weekend, because the kit man, Toddy, he put the armband in my place. but on paper, it was Jordy. But we, because obviously, our club captain, obviously, Jammer, obviously, he's injured at the moment. He's trying so hard to obviously get back. Me and Jordy, obviously, Jordy was like, I think Jordy was captain of each chart. So I said, Jordy, obviously, you capped it. And then we went out, and Jordy was like, oh, no, like, obviously, it's in your place. So we went out, and then on a tunnel, it was like a number three dominant, obviously, captain. Me and Jordy looked at each other like, okay, so that's kind of, you know, obviously made up. Yeah. So we're queuing, obviously, lining up in the tunnel. And then the refs come to me and called me Jordy. And I go, I'm not Jordy. Jordy's like, and then Jordy looked at me. I was like, I've got Jordy down as captain. So I was like, Jordy, your captain, come to the front. But yeah, that was just before you went out. So it's kind of like, the ref, obviously, I
blame that damn coffee commercial. It's like, once everybody saw the coffee kit commercial from a couple seasons ago, you guys are interchangeable.
That's right.
No, literally.
It's a good strategy to confuse the, you know, confuse the defense, confuse Morecambe.
I wonder if this is another Birchnell special, because we've learned from some of your teammates that, you know, he doesn't announce the starting 11 until very close to the match. So maybe he's just taking it to another level.
He doesn't announce the captain until 1 minute in.
Our kit man Toddy did message me after. He was obviously apologizing, but yeah. It was just one of those things that was, you know, I've obviously, it's either me or Jordy, I guess. But yeah, they got obviously wrong on the team sheet.
I love it.
That's funny.
Yeah. So Dom, last year we won League Two. Would you ever consider doing it again?
I'm trying to wing League One at the moment.
Hey, there we go. That's the belief.
I want to talk about that belief in just a second, actually. But before, actually, let's talk about it right now. So how does the mentality change now that we're in League One? You know, last year, I have to think that you guys had a winning mentality. You go out every game, you expect to win, and you have the goal of let's win the league or at the very least get promoted. This year, nobody except Sham and I, of course, think we can win every game. We do predict that we win every game.
Yeah.
So you have to know, you know, you're going to lose a lot of games this year. How do you, you know, what's the mentality shift? How do you deal with that as a competitor who just naturally always wants to win?
I don't think it's changed. We've had meetings and obviously, like you said, we're a team that's won League Two last season. But it's a winner mentality from the start. And I think in football as well, if you haven't got a winner mentality, then you know you shouldn't really be playing. But this season, we know. I think previous last season, you know, there's games where we played poorly, but we managed to win, and it's just a finding a way. Like now as well, where. You know, if we're playing bad, let's win the game. So it's kind of, you know, the new players and the old players, like I said, it's kind of a case where you're coming into an environment where, like you said, we're used to winning. But I think that kind of, as you get promoted, the teams that are before, like the Ipswiches, you know, Sheffield Wednesday, they're looking, they're obviously like the big teams that have played in the champ, they've been higher. Mm-hmm. So you're expecting those teams to, well, they're the favourites to go up. But with ourselves as well, you know, obviously people class, obviously the underdogs in this league, but it's literally, like I said, about the mentality of just keeping the same winning mentality to know that you're going to go into a game and win it.
What's the biggest change now that you're in League One in terms of gameplay? Do you notice like a significant difference in the speed of the game and the quality, or is it pretty similar to what you faced in League Two?
I think, you know, over the years, it's been different. There's been a big, massive gap. But I think in the football pyramid now, I think it's so much closer than people think, even from the National League to League Two. You know, there's some National League sides that can easily play in League Two, you know, because it's so close, especially League Two to League One and Champ, as we've seen. It's so tight. I wouldn't say there's much of a difference. I'd just say there's probably, as you know, obviously a bigger budget and bigger squads. So teams can obviously rotate, you know, a bit better quality, or you might be getting players from loan from Premier League sides a bit more. So yeah, there's probably a little bit better quality in terms of, you know, teams defending and obviously teams going forward as well that you notice. But I wouldn't say there was a big, huge difference in the step up. It's pretty much similar.
Yeah, pros playing pros, I guess, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And have you noticed a difference in how it feels playing in the new sort of substitution rules, where you still get the three substitution events, but they can, you know, like you said, with squad rotation, some of these larger squads can bring in other players. Does that change how you approach the games or how it feels within the game when you're playing against like fresh legs that maybe can be injected later?
Yeah, I think. I mean, obviously, it's going to benefit everyone because obviously, you know, especially the bigger teams that with bigger budgets. If you've got, you know, big size squad, good bench, and you've got decent quality players on the bench, when you can make five, you know, bring five players on, freshen up that's literally half the team that you're bringing on. So, you know, when you're coming across that, it's there's benefits to that. It can only be, you know, with injuries and just literally rotating a whole formation to make you, you know, if you're losing the game, to go for it. It is obviously everyone's adapting to it, but at the same time, it's a big change. It just obviously allows teams to bring more, like I said, more fresh legs onto the pitch.
Yeah. Speaking of really quick, some of the quality in League One though, we have, I have to imagine, one of the best players in League One in Connor Wickham. Like I have never seen someone be able to score the goals that he scores. Yeah. So it's
the technical
so
skill
is
insane.
Yeah. what is he like in the dressing room? What is he like, you know, off the pitch?
Yeah, he's experienced. He's played at a top level. So, you know, you can only imagine obviously what you're seeing. It's some of his finishing, especially in training as well. He's got an eye for the goal, you know. he's a big presence. Obviously, like you said, obviously, mm-hmm. think Connor Wickham, you know the teams that he's played for. But yeah, he's someone obviously that he's been in the game for ages, and obviously us young lads, because we still got a young team, can feed off. He's vocal, you know, just at halftime and stuff, like ways to get the ball to him, where to play, where he's going to be, kind of things when he's on the pitch. But it's someone you need as well. Like you, the more experience you've got, obviously, the better, because you just, they've been in certain situations, they've lived it before. So it's quite ideal for us to obviously be around him.
Yeah. Oh, and it's ideal for us to watch those beautiful goals go in.
Some finish, wasn't it?
Oh my God, what a finish. I think I overreacted on Twitter. I said it was the most beautiful finish I've ever seen. That was probably an overreaction, but oh my God, it was amazing. And all three of it, he has three goals now, right? Three that I remember anyway in the league. Charlton here, and then
Lincoln.
Lincoln, yeah. All three were like beautiful. And, you know, the one at Charlton was just like, just incredible awareness. The keeper made a mistake. Their keeper made a mistake. And he was just right there and just coolly, you know, like it was raining.
Second pinpoint finish.
It away.
Yeah. Composure. He's very composed with it.
Oh, man, it's wild. So, Jameel Matt, Elton John, Michael Jordan, Jake Paul, Kim Jong-un, Don Bernard. What do all these people have in common?
That's so off the scale. Like, I don't know.
They were all announced as captain at some point on Saturday.
that's a wide spectrum.
You're all two first name guys.
Oh, right.
Two first name guys. What's it like being a two first name guy, Dom? Dom Bernard.
Never thought of it.
Never thought about it. you ever meet any of those people?
Apart from Jamma.
Jamma! How's Jamma doing? How's his recovery?
Yeah, he's doing well. He's every day, obviously, I think he's seeing specialists quite a lot. To obviously get his knee right. I think he's obviously at a place where now he's, so obviously I think before he was kind of playing for it. And you know, when you're playing for it, you're still always like, tweaking, and it'll go a little bit. So he's obviously got it sorted. Now it's just on the road to recovery. But he's always, like all the injured players, like Bales, Doakes, Matty, they're all, you know, while we're playing at halftime, they're always in there before the game, after the game. They're always coming in, supporting the boys, which obviously, as you expect as well, you know, obviously if you're not playing, you get around the boys. But yeah, they're all on the mend, all the players, they're all good.
Good. Good. Yeah, it's so funny. Matty sometimes does the commentary. He's done it a few times.
Yeah, with Billy Hunt, right?
With Billy Hunt. And it's so funny because, like, right as halftime's about to hit, he throws his mic down and runs to the dressing room. And it's so funny. And along the way, he gets like attacked by like all the little kids who like want a picture, want an autograph and stuff. And then he's always late to come back to start the second half. He's with you guys, and then he gets mobbed by all the fans as he comes back, and it's so funny. Man of the people.
Yeah, he loves it. He said he enjoys it, commentating on it. He's enjoying it. I suppose it keeps him busy as well.
It's actually really nice too, just to hear like the player perspective live on the air. You know, it's not something we always get, so it's awesome to see not just a player perspective, because we have that sometimes in past players, but we don't have like a current. It's such a unique thing to have a current player on the team who knows what's happening in training, knows all the guys. It's a really cool like dynamic when he's on. So Dom, you're kind of the bad boy on the pitch sometimes. You love trash talking. I think we talked about Josh. That's right. You love a little RG Bargy. I think we talked about Josh Norman in the past. Who's your trash talking inspiration these days?
Well, to be fair, obviously Josh Norman's not really about, but obviously Ramsey. Obviously for LA Rams, he gives it a lot. But I haven't been watching obviously much trash talking. I don't think there's. I haven't watched any of the mic'd up, you know, released on YouTube yet. So to obviously get a,
see as
much of it. It's just obviously I've been watching some of it, but obviously not a lot.
We should do a mic'd up. We got to talk to Noah about that. Get you guys mic'd up. That would be really entertaining. We might have to bleep some of what you say, but it would be very entertaining.
I've said it before because I believe there's someone there's a Wickham player who I can't remember his name. He's actually mic'd up on the pitch, but he's got his own like YouTube. I can't remember the guy's name. He's centre back for Wickham, but he actually mics himself up on the pitch. You can obviously hear what he's saying and whatnot.
Oh, that's cool.
But I don't know whether that's allowed or I don't know how he gets away with it, to be fair.
Yeah. That's cool. Do you have any like memorable lines you've used lately?
The last one where I just said it to someone, obviously the red card at Charlton, I just told him to go to go run his bath early, obviously go get in the bath, even though it was like late on in the game.
I told him to go get in the bath. I love that.
Yeah, go get in the bath.
I haven't really
gave everyone proper stick. That was probably like the most recent one. I haven't had much confrontation yet.
Do you feel like you have to raise your game for this level too? We talked about going from League 2 to League 1. Do you feel like the trash talk has to also?
That's right. Yeah, elevate the trash talk.
Yeah, I think obviously. Yeah, I mean, if winning or losing, I think you got to keep the same energy.
Right. Yeah. The same confidence.
Yeah. I mean, you can't give it all when you win. It's easy to do when you win it. Yeah, like Michael Jordan said, like, you know, it's easy to speak when you're winning.
That's right.
But yeah, it's not always the case. I mean. There has been occasions, especially last season, where I just from the get-go, like it starts from the tunnel sometimes. But that's not to like get me going or anything. It just, I don't know, it just happens just like naturally. I suppose it's just, I don't know, it helps me get, I don't know, in and amongst the opposition.
Yeah, I love it. It's fun. It's so fun for us to watch too. Because, you know, when you talk to Dom off the pitch, he's like the nicest, sweetest guy. And then on the pitch, animal. And I love that. That's what you need. Yeah. As a competitor, as a footballer, you need that, like, be able to switch like that. Anyone, like, from an opposing team that you can think of that's, like, kind of giving it back well? Or anyone that's a good trash talker?
The one that majority, like, we spoke about before, like, between the lads, is when we played Crawley away, Tony Craig. Obviously experienced pro, I think he's 37 now. And before the game, obviously I'd be waiting outside their change room door. So when they open the door, like I'm kind of just standing there, like bouncing in front of the door. And he came out and I was obviously, you know, I won't be explicit, but obviously I'm saying, you know, it's me and you, I'm saying to him like 90 minutes, me and you, Tony, Craig, me and you, night for 90 minutes out here. And he's calling me, obviously, all right, calm down, you know, Ronaldo. He's calling me Ronaldo with my shorts, wannabe Ronaldo. But anyway, and then I was saying to him, oh yeah, keep the same energy after the game, keep the same energy after the game. Yeah. And it was a game I obviously scored in, but we lost 2-1. And after the game, the final whistle's gone, and he's ran up in my face, you know, doing like star jumps, like his arms up in the air. And there's not much, obviously, I could say really, because obviously they got 3 points, even though I've scored like my first goal in the league. But it was kind
Let's
of
go.
It was fair enough kind of thing.
Tony Craig, interesting. Yeah. All right, funny enough, we have a relationship with some people from Crawley here in New York, so I'm gonna mention this to them. Because Tony Craig's still on the team, right?
I think so. I think he's still there. Cool. I haven't really checked, but yeah, he's very experienced, and he you know, he doesn't shy away from it. He's a proper talker as well.
I love that. A proper talker. I love
seasoned.
Seasoned. Yeah.
So speaking of the goal scoring phenom, Dom Bernard, and not the Crawley goal, but let's talk. I don't remember how you celebrated that one, but I do remember the Southampton goal, which was a beautiful goal. You didn't like celebrate at all. It was just like business as usual. What happened there?
You know, I don't know. Obviously, like I said, the Crawley one was kind of we losing, get the ball, you know, get back, let's get another one. But the one against Southampton, it was kind of, I don't know. It just felt, you know, I kind of scored and everyone was already there. So couldn't really, you know, do my celebration or anything. It was just kind of like high five.
The team moment.
Lads.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, there'll be one in the, you know, like on my league goal coming up soon. But yeah, I don't know. It was just one of those.
Yeah. Well, we're predicting every game, so every game's a new chance. So.
That's true. Every game we predict the Dom Bernard hat trick. Oh my God, though, the head. If you would have scored that header yesterday, that would have been
The TV would have been in pieces.
My TV would have been in pieces, and the crowd would have erupted because it was at such a critical juncture, and it was a beautiful header too. It's just unlucky it got saved, but. And there was no one around you, so you could have run around and did whatever you wanted.
Opportunity. I've got the celebration lined up as well. I've got the AB. I'm going to do the AB dance. The old Antonio Brown. Have you seen it when he does the old?
Oh my God, let's go. Oh, we got to
love that. Americans are going to love that. Yeah. We want that. We want it so bad. We're going to predict.
All 10 of us.
We'll get it. We'll get it.
Hopefully it'll come.
Oh, I love that. Let's go. Antonio Brown, still a free agent, I believe, right?
I think so. Yeah. He's doing something else, isn't he? Like singing or rapping, got his own song out.
He's doing a little bit of everything. He's got his hand in everything. We could sign him. We should sign him at FGR. I think he'd be a great trash talker, actually.
He would be. I don't think he'd be good on the ball, though.
No. So Dom, you can do it all. You can play central defender. You can play midfielder. You can play like left wing back, like you did on Saturday. You can score goals at both ends. you can wear a mustache. You can wear no shorts. What can't you do, Dom Bernard? What's a weakness in your life?
What's a weakness in my life? Something out there. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what my weaknesses are. I'm sure there's one out there. I don't know. Learning. Well, I can't garden. I can't plant
can't
any.
Garden.
I don't know. If I had to throw one out there.
All right.
You got to hook you up with Phil Butterworth.
Cannot there. Garden. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Phil Butterworth is an excellent gardener. So there we go.
Yeah, no.
Phil, if you're listening, there's a mentorship opportunity here for you.
I got one weakness. Okay. I got one weakness, Nathan. Dom Bernard cannot say no to us wasting his time.
that's a
definite weakness.
Hey, I'm on my hat trick on here. I've come on for the third time. That's how much I like you guys.
Let's go.
Yes,
Dom!
There we go. The first of many hat tricks this season.
Let's go. Yes, the Dom Bernard hat trick. You and Jamma, I think, may be the only ones. Maybe Maddie and Dokes, I'm not sure. But yeah, definitely. Yeah. Let's go, Dom. I love it.
I'm on the list.
You're on the list. We love you too, Dom. Everyone knows it. Billy Hunt, I think it was the Southampton goal. I feel like he said something on the air, like hinting, like some people are going to be very happy about this goal, like talking about us. Someone said it. I don't remember who it was, but anyway. But back to the garden, Dom. Are you vegan?
I'm vegetarian.
Vegetarian.
Say, yes. Awesome. Four years now, I think.
Wow. Oh man, that's awesome.
That's awesome. What's the motivation behind it?
Not really any but motivation, really. I mean, now I'm in a transit. I think I mentioned before, see my missus being vegetarian, vegan. I think now it's just natural now. Do you know what I mean? Like people saying, like, when's the last time you had like chicken or steak, and or would you go back to it, or what? Like, do you not miss it? But I suppose nowadays there's so many substitutes towards everything now. And now as well, with me and Chloe, we're trying out there's like a gusto for the food. So obviously, you know, there's meals where you pick your own meals and they send you how to make it as well, and all the ingredients, and they do like vegan, vegetarian, and you just pick it. So now we're trying that just to see different recipes and different foods, obviously just to mix it up. Because sometimes we're like, we'll eat something and then we kind of save it, remember the recipe, because that was a good one. But yeah, this gusto right now, it's really good, really different meals, different obviously tastes and stuff though. That's what we got going on at the moment.
Right. So Nathan, you're doing something like that as well too, right? With like kind of vegan meals that come with the ingredients.
Shout out Green Chef. They sponsored us one episode. So shout out Green Chef. We should get
Cool.
Yeah, they I do these vegan, like it's amazing. It's like delicious, it's super healthy. It's not hard to cook either, and it's like, wow, I didn't know vegetables could taste this good. other than from Jade. Shout out to Jade.
Jade's different level. I suppose as well, we normally wake up, we go to the supermarket and it's like like sometimes obviously you go on Google, like for a rescue as well, but you think, what should we have tonight? Like you start thinking, oh, what should I make tonight? Or I need to get this, I need to get that. But with this as well, like the meals are there. You say it's lazy a little bit, but it's also, you know, you've ordered your meals and they come, show you how to do it. You kind of, you can save as well, obviously the recipe with the little strips of this in.
Yeah.
And then you've always got it. So you build up a little collection. We've got, I don't know, there must be like 30 like recipes. Oh, so you just flip through them and go, Go get these for this one.
My wife and I do the same thing. I thought she had the pile in the room I'm in. I guess not, but my wife, yeah, saves all the recipes. I cook them all, and then she saves all the recipes, and we'll do it. Anyway, that's awesome. Let's go, Dom.
I don't think you can underestimate the convenience factor. It's just awesome that it's now more convenient, easier than ever to be a vegetarian or vegan. You know, to take that step.
That's true. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's there for you. It's, you know, you don't really have to think. It's like, okay, I'll put this together. And to be fair, the packaging in it is the waste. It's like so minimal as well. So you know what I mean, on that side as well. It's obviously good.
I love that.
Awesome.
Also, I was blown away in the UK too. Just so many vegan options everywhere. It's like the capital of vegan food. I was like shocked by that. But shout out to the UK. Anyway, so let's do one last question here, and then we will ask you some stupid questions. We'll do a little teammate talk. More stupid questions, I guess I should say. We've already asked you a few stupid questions, but every match day, Dom, when we look at the lineup, when we see Dom Bernard in the lineup, no idea where Dom's actually going to play. You are the most versatile player that we have. You can play all the different positions. What is that? What's the secret to being so versatile, Dom?
I don't think there's any secret. I think it's just if you can understand the game, like you know, game understanding. I think it helps. It benefits in different positions if you can understand how which roles are played. And I was speaking to obviously Tom, the sports scientist, about, you know, because obviously he's got the iPad with all the GPS and stats. And normally, obviously, if I'm playing centre back, you don't obviously cover much distance like as you were, but my distance and obviously running stats, obviously if you're playing wing back, is obviously going to be greater, but it's good to know that you can obviously put those kind of numbers in, because obviously at centre back you're not really bombing forward as much in terms of a wing back, because obviously you've got to defend and be the vocal kind of focal point of the attack. But it's just a case where, like I said, just game understanding. If you know where to be, how to be in the right positions, then that's kind of half the job done. It's obviously doing it if it's to a certain extent where you've got to be, you know, the point to get us to here, kind of. I don't think my role really, I mean, Corey's been playing on the right side. He's kind of like the guy to attack forward, create something. But my game's like, obviously, I'm not going to really beat three men. I don't know, who knows?
You could.
that could go on amazing, right? But it's just understanding really the philosophy of the play and formation and obviously how the other team sets up really.
I love that. And we love seeing some Dom Bernard out there. And also it always gives us hope that we're gonna get a goal and we're gonna get the AB dance. I love it. All right.
Hopefully.
So let's play a quick game here. Sham set this up. Here we go. One gotta go, it's called. So Sham, explain the game.
You're given three to four options. And you have to choose one that can never exist again, one that no one that you could live without or no one else could see again. So one of these things gotta go. You know, we know that, in fact, and, you know, we're always talking about what's the best. We know you guys are the best team in League One coming soon, even though, you know, we're not there yet. Coming soon. In a couple
it's
years.
Coming. It's coming.
But you know, you're the best vegan, and FGR is the best vegan club out there. But now we're thinking, okay, what's got to go? Which one doesn't make the cut?
Okay.
Here we go. Which one of these doesn't make the cut?
And in honor of you, it's Stash Edition or Tash Edition. Because you're rocking the classic Stash. We love it. You're a style master. We're going to go see this. So go ahead.
Yeah, no, I like
you. You are the most stylish on the team. You don't have any, you don't have any tattoos, do you, Dom?
I don't know. No, not at the moment. I don't think I probably will either.
Interesting. Yeah.
Not even the stash.
No, not even the stash. Do you know what? I've just realized every time I've come on here, I've had a different. First time I had like the long hair, the beard.
Yeah.
Now I've kind of like just gone clean here and
Yeah, it's fire though, man. You can pull
up. You though, Dom. You're constantly changing your style.
I think I'm gonna get that the long hair. I think I'm gonna go long hair and get the beard off. Like keep the tie.
Okay.
Let's go. Go for
get Pablo Escobar.
I love that. Oh, that's gonna be a good look. That's gonna be a really good look. All right, here we go. One gotta go. Which one of these don't make the cut? Go ahead, Sham. Introduce it.
All right. So again, now we're going with stashes because you were the stash master. So okay. We have the pencil rocked by Mr. Antonio Banderas there. The classic handlebar, right? Classic handlebar with the twirl. Or the gunslinger. And that's honor of Americans because we love guns. So that's an old Wild West thing. So which of these three gotta go? Do you think is a mustache style that it's got to see the door and never come back?
You know, I don't mind the the thin one. It's kind of, I'm going off the picture as well because it kind of suits, it's a clean look there. I like the little handlebar.
It helps when you're like, you have model level good looks. Mr. Medeiros.
I like the handlebar. I like, because I tried to do it when I tried to grow mine out.
It's a thinking man's mustache, isn't it? You get to twirl it. You really get to, think.
Yeah. But this one with the no, what's it? The no goatee. I don't know what's going on.
No goatee. Chin. The gunslinger.
The gunslinger, that's a bit wild. Like, I like it. Look, it's different. I don't mind it, but
if you gotta pick one,
you gotta pick one. That one's gotta go.
The gunslinger. Gunslinger.
All right. That's gotta go.
I think that would be hilarious, though, to see you in a gunslinger, though. Well, one of these days, you should do it. I kind of want to do it now. Sean, we should do it.
Let's do the gunslinger. Next trip to the UK for FGR. Oh, I'm coming with the gunslinger.
Don, I actually
gotta rep America that way.
I have some plans, Sean. I have not shared with you yet. Okay. And I may not share until right before we go, but I got some plans for what we're going to wear to the next FGR game.
It's all right. Last trip, I didn't share that I didn't have a valid passport, just until the trip. So it's fine if you go the other way.
All right, here we go. Next one.
All right, gunslingers.
All right. I don't get this one at all, Sean, so you're definitely going to have to explain it.
All right. So we went from stashes.
I know the one. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. So of these three famous tashes, which one's going to go? Of course, we've got the famous Marvel Black Widow. That's Natasha Romanoff.
Okay.
We have the world famous controversy stirrer, Tash Guri from Love Island, the past season of Love Island, one of my wife's favorite show. And then Natasha Fatale, the classic villain from Rocky and Bullwinkle. I don't know if you guys have that in the UK. There's a huge classic cartoon in the United States. But, it's kind of weird. I think it's had to do with a lot of anti-Russian sentiment in the United States during the Cold War from like this season. But which Tash has got to go?
The one in the middle, the Love Island, only because I don't watch it. If I
that sounds one. Like a lie, Dom. That sounds like a bit of a lie.
I've never watched it. The lads obviously when it was on, they'd speak on it 24/7. But
it's like a national craze, right?
It literally is. And I normally say I don't watch it, and they're like, you're just trying to be different. I'm like, honestly, it doesn't appeal to me.
All right, Love Island girl gone. Last one.
And no, I think it's smart. I think it's smart too because Natasha Fatale, 6'4". Could be excellent on set pieces, so you keep her in.
Oh, she is. Keep her in. Oh, my God. 6'4". Oh my God. Yeah, she would be excellent. Excellent in our backline. All right, here we go. Last one.
Okay, so we went from stashes to tashes to finally trashes. So Dom, it's coming. We know in your future there's many a top bin that's going to happen. So you're going to score like crazy, right? Golden Boot winner Dom Bernard. But what are the lowest bins? Which of these three classic trash receptacles has got to go? Is it the classic NYC, like the metal that you see, that you'll see like a million rats jump out of?
By the way, I've never actually seen.
Yeah, I've never seen that. Yeah, they're not around anymore. I think they're only on TV.
I normally just see them on movies.
Time. Exactly. Yeah, I think at some point they got phased out. So they're purely in the dream realm now. But is it the recycling bin, the classic blue? Is it too staid? Or is it our friend, the Italian trash bot, who goes around the streets of Italy picking up litter?
Well, if we go in, well, the blue, obviously the recycling and the Italian one, obviously they're going around. He's doing his thing. He's going around picking it all up, good deed.
Yeah, Mobot's brethren, so you got to respect it,
Yeah, Mobot's out there. Mobot's Italian cousin.
Yeah, he's doing his stuff. The blue one's obviously recycling. It's you know, it's the main purpose, it's doing this job. But they're still obviously not hating, but obviously I do. I like the steel can, you know, the little trash can. Like you said, I only see it on movies. I wonder if that was actually a thing. But now you've mentioned that you haven't seen one in ages.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna go for the NYC, and that's your side as well. So
that's fair. I would go for that one too. Although the recycling one would be a close second for me because nobody actually uses it to recycle. Like, I've seen you know, people throw anything in there, and I've also seen the people who actually collect them, who are supposed to be putting them in recycling, just dump them in with the regular trash. So nobody uses them as they're supposed to. So it's basically useless, but it makes us feel good. So I'll keep that there.
All right. There's one got to go. Well done, Dom. You wrapped that one. Made some wise choices.
One got to go. All right, let's close out here with teammate talk, and then we'll get out of here. So teammate talk this week. Every week we have a theme. This week the theme is up and autumn, as autumn is coming. Sham, kick them off. Kick it off with the first one.
So Dom, who do you think is the best cold weather player? We know it's like windy up there in Nailsworth. You're gonna be visiting these big stadiums in October, November, December. The rest of the year is gonna be a cold one. Who do you think is the best cold weather player? Obviously, you can say yourself because you rock the short shorts no matter what. So there's a strong argument for you.
I think it's got to be one of the Scottish guys. You know, they're kind of used to up there and then the snow and windy rain.
I get those hard man vibes from Regan Hendry a little bit.
Regan, he adapts well to it. Kyle as well. Yeah, I'll probably go Regan.
I can see that. I can see that running around. No shirt on, 0 degree weather.
Yeah, just getting out, just having fun in the wind.
With his hairy Scottish chest. I would imagine Regan has no hair on his chest. Is that true?
He hasn't got no hair on his head.
Let's go.
It's a good nibble for him. I'll make him listen to that.
That's well done. That was well done, yeah.
I love like, that.
That was... Chef's kiss trash talk.
Man. You set me up. You teed me up.
We planned this all before. Who has the best, since it's autumn, it's sweater weather, who's got the best sweater game off the pitch?
Sweater game. Sweater game. I'm probably going to go... I think Luke McGee's probably got a good sweater. Or... Bales. I could see him like, I don't know, I could see Bales all like snuggled up in his sweater. if I had to pick one, I don't know. I haven't seen obviously like Brian or Miles at the moment, like some of the new guys.
Brian's from Norway, right?
Yeah, so right.
I like that's the capital might, sweater weather.
Yeah, Brian might, but I haven't seen him obviously. Right now, it's just like t-shirt looks. So he might have one in his locker. But from what I've seen, probably Luke McGee, just because I could just see him like with the sweater on.
Yeah. You can say that. I could totally see him in sweater. In fact, I bet if we look on his Instagram, he's got a ton of sweater pictures.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I love it. I feel like you could pull off a sweater if it's the right style.
Yeah,
I don't mind a sweater. It's coming, like you said, it's that time now, isn't it, where it's...
It's coming, man. I feel like with the classic stash, you could pull off the turtleneck now, like the black turtleneck.
Turtleneck. I've got one. I've got a beige one as well, waiting in the
Let's go.
Wave. It's coming.
Waiting in the wings. All right, Sean, hit him with the next.
All right. So again, like we said, it's autumn, and I don't know if they do this in the UK, but in the US, especially in the Northeast where we live, they do these fall foliage tours where you get a bunch of people either in like motorcycles or bicycles or like mopeds or scooters, and they'll just kind of like go around and take in like nature, you know?
Right.
So who do you think, even though, you know, on the days off when you're not training, you'd have an outdoor job, who do you think loves just being outdoors? You could see leading one of those fall foliage tours, go bird watching or something.
Yeah, that would probably be me.
There you go.
Probably be me. I don't know if, not player wise, going to staff, if Graham Eastgate, this obviously the sports scientist who does our gym, he likes to go outdoors. I actually bumped it when we went to do our, we had a day off, we went to me and my miss obviously went to a National Trust in Bath, and I actually bumped into him on the top of a hill.
Yeah.
And it was so random how we just bumped into each other, and he was like, yeah, I'm just doing the same walk. And it was like,
that's awesome.
It was so weird. Like, we both obviously gone to Bath, and it, in that, you know, on top of a hill, we bumped into each other. It's crazy.
Awesome. You know what you should do, Dom? They have certain things here. Like, I know this isn't vegan friendly, but there's this famous hot dog stand in Chicago where as you get your order, they insult you.
Oh, yeah.
And they roast you.
I used to live right by there, the Wiener Circle.
Yeah, the Wiener Circle. Exactly.
Yeah, I used to live right there.
I feel like you guys should do that. Like, you take people out on a hike and you dish out, like, the roast.
Just insult,
insult everybody that's there.
That's how you differentiate yourself. Just make fun of everybody on the tour. Oh, I love that. And I can totally see you on a Segway leading a little Segway tour through nature. Yes.
Sounds good.
All right. Last one here. Who's the best? You know, in fall comes Halloween. A holiday like I love. It's like one of my favorite. I don't know if it's actually a holiday, but whatever. I love Halloween here in the U.S. It's an awesome, awesome time.
Festive.
Festive. It's like, it's perfect. I love Halloween. Anyway, who's the best Halloween celebrant? Is that a word? Celebrator.
It is now.
There we go. Yeah. It is now. Or slash costume wearer. Who would be the best at celebrating Halloween on the team?
I'm going to go Corey O'Keefe.
That was quick.
Because we actually, in our change room 2, we actually call him Skeletor.
I love that.
So he's kind of already in the, you know, he's already in the festive period. He's only in festive mood throughout the whole year. So he doesn't change. He's kind of just Skeletor.
Fair enough.
Not the Skeletor. Oh, that's amazing.
So who's He-Man in the locker room then? Who's his arch rival?
There's a graphic getting made of that.
There's a few of us in there. But that's his costume.
Oh, I love that. Shout out Skeletor. Corey O'Keefe. Oh, I love that. Oh, what? Dom, man, we will let you get out of here and go enjoy your what day is this?
Sunday.
Go enjoy your Sunday, your day off. You've been with us way longer than we expected, but it's just always fun talking to you, man. It's just,
yeah,
it's,
man. Always a pleasure.
Best.
Love it.
You're the best, Dom.
Likewise, always a pleasure.
Man, so, well, thank you for joining us as always. Thank you for bringing us the hat trick. We'll see it on the pitch soon. But thanks for bringing us the pod hat trick. You are a versatile person as you are a player, man. It's just, you got a great sense of humor, compassionate worldly view. You're the best,
outdoorsman.
An outdoorsman.
Appreciate it. Outdoorsman, yeah.
And a great trash talker as well.
I do it all.
Do it all. Exactly. You do it all. Except for Garden.
Phil Butterworth, we'll get you on that one.
Yeah. We get it. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Dom, man, appreciate you, brother. Thank you for coming on. And we will see you for the fourth goal sometime soon.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
Cheers, love brother. Dom. And Dom Bernard. Shimmy.
What a great guy, man. It's just like when you talk to Dom, you can't help but feel a little bit better. Even though it was a tough day yesterday at the Bolt Blue Lawn against Morecambe. Like, when you know that you have guys that have confidence and are going to go out there every day giving their all, you feel a little bit better about it.
You do. Love Dom, man. Check him out at dom.com. Just kidding, I don't know what that is.
Maybe don't put that into your internet search browser.
I think it's like a dominatrix website?
Yeah, that could lead to some...
Hey, I'm going to test it out. Here we go. Wife's not around. Let's see what happens. Oh, very disappointingly, it's just dominoenergy.com. It goes to Domino Energy, whatever that is. So,
hey,
not as exciting.
Is that a country completely fueled by subpar pizza? Although we can't hate on Domino's. Domino's in the U.S. is one of the few places that does a good vegan.
Yeah, pie. Yeah. In fact, my wife Domino's. And I had it last night. You're right. New York is the pizza capital of the world, but it does not do a good vegan pizza. However, Domino's does a decent vegan pizza. But actually, I can't read. It's not Domino's. It's Dominion Energy.
Okay.
Dominion Energy.
Okay, that's dom.com.
Dom.com, yeah. So shout out to Dominion Energy. Not a partner, not a sponsor, but anyway, shout out to them. Actually, we shouldn't be shouting at them because Ecotricity is probably a competitor as an energy company. So screw Dominion Energy. They probably use only fossil fuels. Screw Dominion Energy. Screw dom.com.
But screw you and your URL.
That's right.
Give it back. Give it to its rightful owner. That's Dom Bernard's quads.
All right, Shimmy, let's get out of here, Shimmy. Exeter next on Saturday. Well, we got the Pizza Cup as well, but let's focus on Exeter. Exeter, oh, Exeter. Where does something Exeter? Michael Jackson, Exeter. We should, man, we got to have our guy back on from Exeter. I love that guy. Unfortunately, today's too busy for me, so I couldn't do it. But next time we have Exeter on, we're gonna bring this guy on, give us a little preview. But quick, score prediction, Shimmy, what do you got on Exeter?
You know, we got to predict an FGR win. We got to bounce back. So I feel like the roller coaster is going to take us back up again. So I'm going to say we win 3-1.
3-1. I'm going clean sheet, Shimmy. 3-0. We're going 4 at the back this week. We're switching it up. We're going 4 at the back. We're not giving up a goal. 3-0. 4-0. Sorry. 4-0. Hat trick Don Bernard. And then Wickham gets another crazy goal. 4-0. Take it to the bank. Gamble responsibly, but gamble all your money on 4-0 for Screen Rovers. All right, Shimmy, let's get out of here.
Let's do it. You know, we are FGR.
And you know,
up
we
these
gotta,
vegan rovers.
Of the vegan rovers. And you know, we got to praise hell. Praise hell. Yeah, yeah. Ticker jobs. All right, Shimmy. You ever seen that South Park?
Yeah.
Ticker jobs.
Jerbs, yeah.
Anyway, all right, let's get out of here. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us. We will see you next week after a big Exeter win, after 3 points in Exeter. See you next week. Bye, everybody.